Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. We're discussing education matters today, and our special guest is Mr. Ron Chaffin, the Supervisor of Transportation for Putnam County Schools. Ron, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you could come out and join us for a while. Some of our listeners may not have met you, so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you got to doing this.
Okay. I'm actually a native of Putnam County. I grew up here. Family is from here, and I also attended Putnam County Schools my whole life. I started in 1970 and graduated in 1982, so once you start adding up the years, it was quite a while ago. But an interesting thing that to go along with transportation is the whole time I was in school, my mother was actually my bus driver. So it's, there's a long line of history there with school transportation. So, that was a good thing. And sometimes the bad thing,
of course, I can imagine.
Yeah, she either made, examples out of us or what, but I mean, it was a fun time. So, and then also have a son and daughter-in-law that just recently moved back here from Michigan. So Alex grew up here. My son, Alex Chaffin, grew up here, and he also went through the Putnam County school system. And he also rode my bus while he was going to elementary school. So it's kind of a unique thing. But after I graduated high school, I moved to Chattanooga with my family and started Chattanooga State, and then also went into the Red Food Store. It was a grocery chain. Went into their management training program. 2 years later, I was able to move back home at the age of 21 and was the store manager here in Cookeville at the Red Food Store. So,
how about that?
And then after that, I went into healthcare and spent about 20 years in healthcare, and that got me into where I am now up to this point. It was an exciting time for me. I was excited to be able to move back home.
And, absolutely.
And so it was good. So, had my CDL back in about the mid 90s, I guess, and have been, off and on in transportation for about the last 20 years or so. So,
and CDL is commercial driver's license.
That is correct. It's a commercial driver's license that we have to have in order to be able to transport students back and forth to school. So,
well, that's important. Well, tell us about your role as Supervisor of Transportation.
Well, you know, there's a lot of responsibility, of course, involved, and the duties of a transportation supervisor. Of course, the number one thing, in my opinion, is communication. I mean, you've got to be able to communicate with your drivers and with all your people that you work with in your department in order to be able to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can do to keep our students safe. And then, of course, there's also overseeing the safety of our equipment. With our mechanics and making sure all of our inspections are the way they should be. And we're very proud to say for the third year in a row, we had all of our buses inspected by our state inspectors, and we were at 100%. So we were very proud of that. Kim Bradford, the supervisor that retired and I took her place, she'd done a very good job in teaching and training our mechanics to do what they're supposed to do. So we were very proud of that. Other duties involved is making sure that all of our drivers are doing their pre-trip like they're supposed to be doing before they ever start the bus, to make sure everything's working, everything's in proper working order. Making sure all of our students get loading and unloading and hiring drivers and overseeing dispatching and routing. And there's a quite a long list of duties and responsibilities.
I'll bet there is. And you've got a large group of drivers, a large group of mechanics. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But you're certified as a supervisor in pupil transportation by the National Association. So that's got to take quite a bit of work. And then putting a CDL on top of that, both of them pretty complex certifications.
It is. I was really fortunate to be able to become a certified supervisor of pupil transportation. Of course, it's through the NAPT, which, like you said, it's a national association, but they're the largest organization in the country, making sure that they teach safe and efficient pupil transportation. So, and there's a course curriculum, of course, you have to pass in order to become certified. And that curricular involves safety protocols, managing transportation budgets, human resourcing, routing, scheduling, everything that goes along with being a supervisor. It covers that curriculum. And of course, once you get through the curriculum, then there's an exam that I had to sit for and had to pass in order to get certified. So I was very fortunate to be able to pass that. So,
well, that's quite an accomplishment to get that, and it's certainly important for the role that you're in. I think a lot of people always wonder what it takes to get a CDL. There's a lot of competency there too. So talk a little bit about the CDL.
Well, it's a commercial driver's license is what CDL stands for. And there is, in order to get your CDL, you've got to go sit for your exams. And usually that's like general knowledge, a brake test. And in order to get a CDL to drive a school bus, then there's a passenger and also a school bus endorsement that you got to have to go along with that.
So the CDL is for truck driving and everything else.
It's for everything that is 26,001 pound and above.
Wow.
You have to have a CDL in order to drive. So, but to have the endorsements to go along with that, it just depends on what you're going to drive. You know, tractor trailer, of course, that's actually a Class A that you have to get, but a Class B is school bus, coach bus, and that type of thing. So,
how about that?
Yeah, it's pretty in depth. I mean, we have to make sure that everybody understands and knows what they're going to be driving, and to make sure they're as safe as we possibly can be. So
that thing is not just a car, is it?
No, it is not. there is a lot involved. And just this year, as of February the 7th of this year, the FMCSA, which is Federal Motor Carriers Association, changed the ruling to where you can't just go and get a CDL driving permit and then go out and train yourself. You have to go through a certified training program in order to do that. So once they're able to do that, then their trainer then puts the information into the FMCSA website, and then I'm able to go ahead and test them for their skills test. So,
but they've got to be in that website.
That
first.
Is correct. I can't schedule them unless they've been certified and training. So I can't test them at all until they get that done.
So have you got enough drivers? I know in some counties it seems like there's always a shortage of drivers.
There is. And as of right now, we have 33 gen ed routes, what we call gen ed. It's general education routes, which uh-huh. is our big buses. And then we have 13 special ed routes. As of right now, we have all those routes covered with drivers, and then we have 3 subs in case we have one out, and then we've got a couple in training. So so we're very fortunate as of right now to have personnel that we have. We have a total of 86 employees in our department, and 62 of those are CDL drivers. So others are office personnel and that type mm-hmm. of thing. But right now we have everything covered. And of course, you know, we have some buses that are overpopulated a little bit, but we're in the process of trying to add more routes as we hire more people. So that's what our goal and our plan is.
And those special ed buses, are there volunteers that work as a second person on those in some cases?
Well, they're actually, through state guidelines, we have to have attendance on all the special ed buses, and they're actually paid, of
they're
course.
They're paid attendance.
Yes, they're,
okay.
they're paid attendance, and so they are able to help with those special needs students. So that's a huge help to the driver. The thing about special education transportation is there is a lot of strict guidelines that we have to go by and make sure that we're covering all of our bases with transportation with those students.
I can imagine, and I can imagine some of the challenges thinking back to my school bus days with, I still remember Miss Adkins, my driver. And I think everybody remembers their bus driver.
Right, and, right, absolutely.
We probably all gave them a certain amount of headaches. Yeah, she was a gem. And I think she only had to pull the school bus over to the side maybe once a year to straighten us out. But that's, I guess that's just part of the fun of being a driver.
Absolutely.
Is occasionally having to do something like that.
Absolutely.
Well, you also did some work in drug and alcohol awareness training, and that relates to this job too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We had there. It's actually a requirement that the supervisor of transportation in education that we have to be certified through drug and alcohol awareness to be able to notice if we have an issue with a particular driver or if there's anything that we need to have a special eye on. So, yeah, it's a requirement that supervisors have to meet.
Is it something that occasionally a driver will note or the supervisors will note that there is a problem?
Well, I haven't had that issue as of yet, and so we've been very fortunate. But we have to make sure, and that's a part of driver training too, that they know you know what the restrictions are and what we can and can't do. So
wow.
But as of now, I mean everything. And as the year goes on, too, we have these random drug testing that we mm-hmm. have to do. There's a pool of that we put drivers in, and it's they're pulled through a bank that we have to add their names to. So we don't never know who's gonna get drawn. So it's just a random that we do every quarter.
But it's an important function.
Absolutely,
it's an important function. Well, we are talking to Ron Chaffin, the supervisor of transportation for Putnam County Schools. We're going to take a quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We're talking to Ron Chaffin. And Ron, we were talking about the size of your department. It's a pretty big and pretty complex operation. You said you had over 80 employees, I think. Talk about you've got two primary kinds of buses, I assume, the special needs or special ed buses, and then the general ed, is that what you called them?
That's correct. We they're special ed and gen ed buses, and we have 33 gen ed routes that cover all of our schools with our general education, and then we have 13 special ed routes, and then 78 total buses in service that are able to be on the road, and not only and as I said earlier, and with the special ed routes, they all have attendance on each one of those buses. So, but one thing that we have started this year that we're trying to improve on is adding more monitors to our gen ed routes, and that has been a huge help to us, because when you have a driver with, if you've got 60, 70 kids on a bus, and it's only the driver, and I've been there. We all been there. That's driven school buses. It, you know, you look up into that student mirror and see all the heads back there, and it's kind of a
there's a lot that can go on.
There really is, but what we're trying to do is add more monitors to those routes that are heavily populated, because what that does is that really helps our our drivers be able to concentrate more on what they're needing to concentrate on as far as the road. And
yeah,
and
we want them not to have a wreck.
Absolutely, too. And another thing that we're trying to do as well with our monitors and sped attendants is we've started putting we've gotten orange vests for them. So they're able to be more recognized, you know, especially when you do look up into that student mirror, you want to be able to find your monitor if you've got a monitor back there. So, you know, just in case you have an issue or a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I took a lot of trips on a bus, and I know that can be a challenging environment.
Absolutely.
And yet, kids develop, many of them, a bit of a special bond with the driver, don't they?
They really do. And, I mean, they depend on their drivers. Sometimes, you know, and we reiterate this to our drivers all the time, is a lot of times that bus driver is the very first person a student sees of a morning. And so we kind of have the responsibility or the advantage of starting their day. I mean, yeah. it can either start off really well or really bad. So, but we try to make sure that we approach it to where we know that that's a possibility, you know, that we're the first person they see. And in some situations, we may be the last person that they see in the afternoon if they've got parents working at night.
Yep.
or you know, and so we want to make sure that we're building that bond. And one thing that I also want to bring up too, that we tell all of our drivers, especially the new drivers, once you start driving, you're going to develop that bond with a student. And years down the road, they don't forget that. I want just a quick story. I was in Walmart a couple of weeks ago, and they this girl came up and hugged me, and I thought, and she said, "You used to be my bus driver about years ago," and of course I didn't recognize
yeah,
her, and so I mean it's something that they never forget, you know, which that and that's a really good feeling. That's very rewarding. So that's a part of the job. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I would imagine most of them look forward to that reward. But they don't start the day with that first touch with a student, do they? Talk about the typical day a bus driver has.
We start. Some of our drivers start as early as 5:30 in the morning. They get in their bus and they start their bus. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, they do their pre-trip, make sure everything's in good working order, and turn the heat on if it's cold weather to make sure. And we always make sure that bus is warm by the time we pick up our first student. So, and usually about 8 o'clock, they finish up their morning run. And then they've got the day to do whatever they need to do between 8 and say 2:30. And then we come back and they do the same thing again. They do their pre-trip before they leave the garage or if they park at home, they, 'cause we have about 20 or so plus drivers that park at home. And so, which that's an advantage to them, but they also, everybody calls in to make sure that we've got everybody out and on the road, and then they finish up their route in the afternoon. And we've got some drivers that drive the LEAPS program in the afternoon that starts at 5 o'clock and usually till 6:30, then they're finishing up their LEAPS route. So, it's for some, it's typically a long day, but you know, it's usually around 5 hours or so, 5 or 6 hours a day. And of course, sometimes we have trips during the day that they take, and
yeah,
but usually in the middle of the day, they can do pretty much anything they want to do if they don't have anything else going on.
And I haven't known many bus drivers, but the ones that drove me seem to really enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Most of the time.
It's a great schedule to work around a second job or somebody that's an entrepreneur that's got their own uh-huh. business or I mean, that sets their own hours. So it's really good for them.
Well, good, good. Well, and they will occasionally have an unusual circumstance. What are some of the typical things a bus driver might run into? I guess kids get sick on the bus, just you name it.
Yeah, we have that happen ever so often. We have issues with, of course, as we talked earlier, sometimes there's discipline issues that they have to encounter. There's You know, making sure that we need to keep one separated from another, they assign seats and or whatever they need to do in order to help that situation. So, but one thing that we are very fortunate to have is our camera system that we have on the bus, our two-way radio that they can call in if they do have a problem. They know they're not out there by themselves. You know, we're there to support them, and if they have any issues, problems, we're there. So, but we're pretty much the investigator as far as anything that goes on the bus. If a driver wants to pull their video and watch and see, because a lot of times when you look into that mirror, you can't see everything you want to see. But when you get back in and park your bus, then you can pull your video and look and see exactly what everybody was doing. So, and a lot of times we have the schools call and ask, you know, I had one this morning that called and said, hey, I would love to be able to watch this video because we suspect this happened on the bus. So we're able to pull that video, get it to that principal, and so they can view it and see what actually went on.
That's an important thing. I don't think most people think about that video being there. They didn't have that in the days I rode a bus.
No, they did not when I was there either. And so, but it does. We tell students all the time, you know, watch what you do because you're always being watched. So it's
there is an eye in the sky.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I guess that's a good thing, and. I assume every now and then I witnessed a school bus accident up in Fitzroy County 3 weeks ago or so. Mm-hmm. It came up on a right afterwards, and someone had rear-ended a bus
right.
when they were.
Sure.
I guess that happens
it
in
does.
Most counties.
It does. That's you know, there are accidents, you know, but we're trying really, really hard to make sure that we're being as safe as we possibly can. And of course, I know there's cars out there. I mean, there's, you know, weather conditions, sun hitting somebody in the eye and, you know, didn't realize there was a bus in front of them or you know, anything can happen. So,
yeah.
But we're trying to be as safe as we possibly can.
Well, that safety issue is a big one, no question. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Ron Chaffin, and we're talking about school transportation and, in particular, school buses. And, Ron, you've got some new equipment and some things that parents probably need to know about this year.
Yes, we do. Well, it's actually not just this year. We've had it for several years. Well, not several years, but a few years.
Uh-huh.
It's of course we have our routing software, which is a software that when we have new bus stops or we have new routes that we need to kind of reroute some stops we already have. We have a routing system that we can plug in that address and it will automatically build our routes for us. So that's a great, great thing
for us to be able
to have. There's also another thing that's actually on the Putnam County Schools website. It's called Info Finder. And what this does is a parent, school, or anybody can put their address into Info Finder and it will tell you exactly what bus number your student is supposed to ride. And also will tell you what time we will be there, that we're scheduled to be there. So, and usually we give 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after, you know, to be able to pinpoint a time.
Sure.
So that's very helpful to a lot of parents. And also we have GPSs on all of our buses as well. So, for example, if a parent calls in the afternoon saying that their child has not gotten home yet, we can pinpoint exactly where that bus is at. And you know, it just now turned on your road. And the parents say, yeah, I see it coming, you know, and everything. So that's a really, really big thing that is a huge help to a parent. And one thing new that we're working on that we've already got in the works to put in place is called Stop Finder. And it's an app that a parent can put on their phone. And when that bus gets within 5-10 minutes of their home, then it will send a message saying your bus is 5 minutes away or your bus is 10 minutes
away. That's a helpful thing.
So that's going to be a huge thing. We're really, really excited about starting to implement that.
It'll ping the phone of the parent and let them know the bus is coming.
To let them know it'll be there in 5-10 minutes. And that's a big help of a morning, knowing, hey, your bus is 5 minutes away. We got to get ready to go. We got to get out the door. So it's going to help. It's going to be a huge help to our parents and our students.
Well, that sounds great. And you got a big grant with some new buses that are coming.
We did. It's and it's something that that we're really, really excited about. It was a grant for $790,000, and it was for the grant is for 2 electric buses and a charging system. And it was through the EPA Clean Bus Program that was that started last year. So it was a $5 billion deal that the federal government set aside to be able to help get it started, help get the electric bus program started. So there were 11 school districts in the state of Tennessee that got awarded the grant, and we were the only one in Middle Tennessee. So we're really excited to have this grant. And there's going to be some challenges with it, like there is with everything, because it's something that's new. There's as far as the training, they're quite a bit different to drive than a regular diesel engine bus. And of course, we're going to have to get used to the charging system on how long the charge will last, how many miles we can get on a charge, and that type thing. So that's a couple obstacles that we're going to have to overcome. But hopefully, we're going to be able to get these buses in the spring of next year, and be able to start them in our fall of that year. So that's going to give us some months to try to train and help train the drivers.
But that'll be pretty neat.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. It's going to be cleaner air, no exhaust, healthier. And also with these 2 new buses, my vision is to add 2 new routes and to put our heavier populated bus stops on these buses where they're kind of in close proximity of schools, and so that's going to relieve some population on some of our current buses that we've got. So that's the vision that we've got for them, and also too, with this being 100% grant, there's no matching money that we have to put with it. So, you know, we don't know where we are right now as far as our the diesel and diesel engines and that type thing, but how much longer they're going to be before, you know, they're not going to be able to make them. But you know, down the road, if we should have to come to this, we have had the opportunity to learn about these buses and try to figure out, you know, how is going to be the most efficient way for us to use them. So, and on top of that, at no expense to the taxpayer, because it's going to be through the use of a grant. So
that's great.
So there's some advantages to go along with some challenges.
And
as well,
I'll bet some of the STEM teachers and others in the classroom are going to want to get over there and
absolutely
and say, look what we've got, and let's study this in terms of effluence and in terms of clean energy and stuff.
Absolutely. So
it'll be a good role model program.
So we're really excited. And there's one other county in 2 other counties in the state of Tennessee that already has 1 electric bus, and I've contacted and been on the phone with that supervisor, and he's kind of given me some things to look for and some things so it's going to be a learning process for the whole state. So.
Yeah, it'll be a changeover. There's no question.
Sure, it will be.
Those chargers are, that'd be interesting to learn how to manage that kind of a system.
Absolutely.
Well, we're coming up on the deep winter months, and winter always brings a phone call or 2, I imagine.
It does.
And a bunch of challenges.
It does.
Talk about, just talk in general about a typical day, but also special issues in winter.
Well, when we come up on the winter months, as you said, that brings up some things that we have to look for, and typically, you know, when we have that type of bad weather come along, we're usually out at 3 o'clock in the morning, and of course, our first place that we normally go is our higher elevations, of course. And, you know, in the Monterey area, that's usually where we get the, you know, the slippery roads first if we're going to have any problems. So typically we make those trips there and kind of look and make sure that everything's clear. But if it's not, I mean, then we gather our information and send it to Mr. King, and he, you know, we all get together and decide whether or not it's going to be safe for us to go to school or not. So,
you know, and it's funny, my family all live in town, but I deer hunt a lot. And,
right.
And so at 4 a.m. on a winter morning, sometimes I'm going on some of these curvy roads up in Jackson County.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, I would not want to be a school bus driver on this road.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we don't think it here in town about how rough it can be out in the back areas.
Right. And we do have those roads. We do. But that's one thing that we have to make sure we look at first is make sure that, you know, we just want to be safe. We want to make sure that there's not going to be any issues.
Well, it's important work, and safety is the driver. I know sometimes it seems inconvenient to have to cancel school, but that's better than putting in a really bad accident report.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope they all do well this year. These bus drivers, you mentioned some of them getting home at 5 o'clock, but they do a lot of other kind of extracurricular driving. I mean, the students go to STEM trips, and they go to TPAC in Nashville and athletics.
We do. I was talking to, of course, my dispatcher is Jim Hogan. He does a superb job, and he's also the assistant supervisor as well. So, I was talking to him today, and he showed me the trip list, and we have 25 to 30 trips going out Thursday and Friday. So that's a typical day, you know, sometimes for us. So, we had 20 something buses out today and going to Tech and for a concert there. So, I mean, we have quite a few, sporting events, and, Upperman High School last year, of course they went to the baseball state championship or the tournament, and, you know, they couldn't come, they weren't going to come home until they lose. But, you know, the thing about it is they never lost. So, so our driver was gone for a week, you know, so, you know, that was an exciting time. So, so we were excited about that. So, but we're here to support our athletics.
Well, athletics is an important extracurricular activity, as is band.
It
and
is.
I know
Absolutely.
Sometimes the bands
Absolutely.
Go to Tech, or they'll go to other places and take a trip. And
sure.
So all those extracurriculars are an important part of the school experience,
right.
And the buses play a part in that.
Sure,
there's no question. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. I wanted, before we close out, though, I wanted to mention, and I know you, you know, I certainly want to mention that you served on the county commission, and thank you for that service. But you served two terms on the commission.
I've served two terms, and this past August, I was elected commissioner in the second district. So I'm really, really excited and really honored to be able to be on the commission for another term. So,
and you served on the Putnam County Fair Board for many years.
I did. I served for about 10 years. In the last 6 years I was there, I was chairman of the board. So, I mean, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And John has done a tremendous job with our fair to get us where we are. So, I'm really thankful for that.
Well, thank you for all that volunteer service and all the work that you've done in those kind of roles. But thanks also for taking care of the kids through the school buses.
It's my number one priority, and it's just a passion, and I love it, and I just that's the number one thing is safety.
Well, that's great. That's great. And thanks for being on the program. I appreciate you spending time with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ron.